This is episode number 5. Balance is not better time management, but better boundary management. Balance means making choices and enjoying those choices.
Welcome to the Innovateology podcast, where it is all about unleashing the creative side to find those brilliant, disruptive ideas to validate and build innovative solutions to solve life's problems.
So here we go. Welcome to episode number 5 with Innovateology. Today we're going to be talking about work-life balance. I think this is a hot subject that we get to hear over and over again. So how do you integrate that work and life and caretaking all into that rush of life? And there's only so much time that we have in the day, but what takes that priority? And that's what we're hoping to cover in this episode. So thank you to our listeners for joining us again. And so as we start to set up this story, we're going to talk more about this dilemma that happens in your day. And I think our listeners can relate to this, is that we only have so much energy to deal with the chaos that every day brings. So we have to make that priority. So with the time in the day that we have and the energy that we have to deal with all these responsibilities that we have, and I'm sure everybody has a task list, and every day you go to bed, you're like, I didn't finish those 5 tasks that I was supposed to finish. This has become a dilemma. It's almost like economics class all over again, where you have supply and demand, and you're constantly looking at how much supply, which is your time, and how much demand is put on it. So we have to make priorities. We have to constantly control that chaos around us. As a mom of 2, I know I experience this every day, where I sometimes have that guilt of going to work and leaving my small children at home. But I know that I have this mission and this life purpose that I'm kind of going for, and that life is not just being a mom, but it's also serving others and allowing more folks to come into my life to help me guide and shape where I want to go and where I want to drive my ship. So while I know we all make choices, and yes, I sometimes wish I had more time to spend with my children and more maternity leave and more paternity leave. It's not easy some days to wake up and have to rush out of the house without even getting to say goodbye to my kids as I walk out the door. And taking that time to transition when I get into the office to really make sure I'm driving value for everyone around me and that I'm really accomplishing that life goal and that life purpose. So it's kind of, how do you give those hours to both sides and really come up with that supply and demand? And how do you best equate with the hours that you have and the energy that you have? Because we all need to sleep. We all need to re-energize. We all need to take those vacation breaks. I know that there are some days where I probably have no more mental power left and I have to. So some of the questions that we have to answer in this podcast is kind of, what's that sample routine look like where we can maximize our time? How do we manage the balance of work with life? And is there really even such a thing as balance? How do we manage all these connections that we have in life? So I know, you know, as a mom, I manage the connections for all my kids. I manage our social life. I manage not only the work that we have within our office. So how do we start to come up with a plan, and how do we kind of solve through these struggles? That's what we're hoping to solve in the 30 minutes that we have with you today. So let's just jump right into this. So I'll go first. And this has been a struggle, is kind of trying to achieve that balance. I know I have workaholic time to crank away and go. So I sometimes have to say work-life balance is a term that's a little bit overused. And is there really that ideal state of balance? Some days I think my home life takes more over than my corporate life. And sometimes I have more corporate responsibilities than I do life responsibilities. So it's more of a yin and a yang in life. So I honestly have never really reached that ideal state where I can say that I have that 9 to 5, that perfect 8-hour state, or maybe it's that half day state where it's 8 to noon, you're doing this, and then you're doing something in the afternoon. I don't think I really have ever honestly get to that state. But I have figured out that you kind of have to manage that life. And so how do we manage this chaos of work and home life? So I came up with the top 5 ways that I do it to achieve what I call daily. So 1 is your mindset. And I know we covered this in episode number 3, but it's critical to keep that positive and be mindful of the moment. So keeping that positive mindset and also being mindful of the moment. That's number one of how I achieve. Number two is keeping your cool. So even when both of your kids are screaming, and you might hear mine screaming in the back because he's hungry for dinner, and grandma and grandpa are trying to manage that right now. So when they're screaming in the background and you're trying to record this podcast, and even though everything is going on around you, it's important to take that deep breath and try and relax. Try and keep your cool, seeing that even if they can try and get a reaction out of you, they're not going to get a reaction out of you because you're just keeping it cool. I love the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. It's my motto in life, especially when we're trying to eat dinner around here and I have two kids screaming. Also, number three is establish a process that you can educate others in life. So this is a very great tip because you're one person and you can't do everything. There's no way. So one thing that I've learned to do is kind of create these systems, capture them, take notes, create videos, do whatever you have to do to teach others how to do that. So you're not that bottleneck. I know at work or sometimes in your corporate life, you have to create operating models. That's what I do at home. And it definitely helps keep sanity there. The next part is number four is set boundaries for rest and relaxation. I know we covered this before in a couple of our podcasts, but I can't tell you how many times you have to set those rest and relax boundaries. So for instance, weekends are my family time and I will rarely answer. And I set quiet hours on my phone, even on my screen at night. I actually have it dull. So it reminds me that, hey, you got to start down. So the screen brightness actually turns more to a dark or a red color, so it's not so bright on your eyes. And remember that that rest and relaxation is for your brain to re-energize. In order to have energy, you got to have rest. And if you look at a battery, it will run out eventually. The Energizer Bunny will stop. So you've got to remember when you've got to do that on your calendar. And you have those 8 hours at night that you need to take full advantage of. If you're not, then you need to figure out how you're going to do that. I know sometimes I rarely sleep and that I'm constantly thinking of new ideas, but you still have to shut down because even when you dream, you can come up with ideas. And number five is to set that daily plan of attack. So what is that priority and what can wait? So the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning is I actually look at my smartphone and I look at my calendar and I look at everything that I have to do and I say, what can wait? What is a priority? What do I need to get? And I think of myself as kind of air traffic control where I'm deciding what lands on my plate and what doesn't, and which I can keep up in the air for a little bit longer. So this I find is absolutely critical every morning is figuring out what can be on your calendar. Does it make sense? Does it drive value? Sometimes I know we book meetings, but then the agendas change. So you got to look at your calendar and really decide. And I think that this also makes you look really good across your colleagues when you're not going into a meeting and you aren't prepared. So, and I think that they can all understand if you need an extra hour more or an extra day to really make sure that that meeting achieves its true goal. So, and also, what can you do in your car to maximize your time? So when I set my daily plan of attack, I always think about my car rides as my time when I listen to podcasts, and I have quite a few favorite podcasts, and I know that can be a podcast episode in itself of your favorite podcasts. But I also think about in my car as my time for strategizing because I don't have my kids, so I can sit down and actually have 2 seconds to think about what I want to achieve.
Hey, Mary, this is Linda here. Why is it important to invest in your support network?
So that's a great question. So in order to achieve what you want to achieve in life, you're going to have support. You're going to have someone that's going to be there to help you get to where you want to go. I don't think I've ever met a person who has achieved their goal without the people around them. I know in a previous episode we talked about how other athletes get better is by practicing with athletes who are better than themselves. Same with painters. If you want to paint really well, I'm sure, Melissa, you got to spend time with other painters that paint better. That's the same with a network. A network is going to keep you accountable for your actions. They're going to keep up to speed. And also, your network is going to be able to help you, once again, achieve that managing chaos. And I know that, you know, if we look at our network, we have the people that are dependent on us. And then we have the people that we need in our lives to help us manage our time. So if you look at, you know, maybe it's the folks that cut your lawn, do the lawn service, or maybe that you have somebody that comes and cleans your house, or somebody that helps, clean out your gutters or does the house maintenance. Those are all support people in your life that you need, that you have to have that trust with to essentially take care of you. I know we have dentists, I know we have doctors. Those help take care of us as well too. So it's managing that support network to help you achieve where you want to go. And also you need to look at it from where do you want to go with your family? So for me, I have a lot of networks and friends through that network of looking at the French group that I've created for kids. So how do we speak language and keep that going throughout that network? And what they do is they keep me accountable. They keep me accountable because that way I know I always need to speak French when I come home and I walk through that door so I can keep that multilingual. I also have athletes that I work out with to keep me accountable because I don't want to miss a workout. So that's just some of the reasons why you need to invest in that network.
Well, Mary, I noticed that you gave a really clever mention that you create training videos. Can you give an example?
Yeah. So it's back to that comment about the operating model. So once you've created this great process and you want to share it with somebody, something that I do is I actually – if I invented a process such as creating this podcast, where I have batched processes, I will actually capture screenshots along the way of some of the techniques that I do. And I actually do a screen capture where I record a video and record the process that I did. So I don't forget it, but also if I need to bring someone to help me so I can go on to do other tasks, it helps them get up to speed. Also, you can have operating models in your household. So for instance, even simple tasks, I know this is going to sound silly to some of our listeners, but doing laundry. I know that people come into my house, and such as grandparents, and they want to help out. They want to help me because they're seeing that I'm constantly doing many different projects that they want to help. So I've actually labeled all the drawers in our house of where all the laundry goes. So we have tops or onesies on the first drawer, then tops or bottoms on the second couple of drawers. And I've actually done a video of how our washer and dryer works, because I know everybody has a different washer and dryer in all their houses, if you think about it. And maybe if someone runs an Airbnb or rents out their house, they'll understand this, that you end up having to give instructions many times over about how to use even simple appliances in your house. So I decided to create training videos because as I have caretakers come in or others helping me around the house, they want to know how to operate something, but maybe they just can't get a hold of me, or maybe they don't, they're not super tech savvy. What I do is I just have videos on a website that they can go to. Simple, easy, like, hey, here's how you operate. I can also text it to them so that way they can grab a link, quickly watch, okay, that's how my Ninja food processor works. And also, kind of like airlines do, a tour of the safety of all of the equipment that's on an airplane. I do that for my home, so I actually do a safety tour. So if folks are staying at my home or they need to know where something is, and it's kind of like an overview training, and also to help me remember all the equipment that we have in our house, I'll give them a safety tour of where the gas line is, how to shut that off, where the fire extinguishers are, where some of the emergency equipment is, such as the panel, the electrical panel, where that is in your house. So those are just some interesting ways that I've actually incorporated some methods that I learned in corporate world into my own home operating.
That's great.
Model. So we'll just recap on action items. So how I manage chaos is a mindset. So keeping positive and being mindful of that moment. Number two is keeping your cool, remembering that not everything is critical and you need to be that filter. And number three is establishing processes that you can educate others in your life, so the videos that we just talked about. And number four is setting boundaries for rest and relaxation. Are you going to leave at 5 p.m.? Or are you going to let work just trample all over you and you're going to be late for dinner? You're screaming. You gotta create that rest and relaxation boundary. Are you going to set that? Are you going to check your email after a certain hour? Are you going to set quiet hours on your phone? You be the boss. You decide. And then next is set that daily plan of attack. What priority are you going to attack today, and what can your air traffic control? All right. So with that, I went really quickly through some of the ways I manage chaos, but Linda actually has a really good way of building a life plan, and hopefully we can hear more about that. So Linda, go
ahead,
take it away.
Sure, thanks, Mary. Well, actually, several years ago, I left the corporate environment, and so all the format and processes of a corporate life, But what I discovered in my first year post-corporate was I came to appreciate how swiftly time can be consumed with random activity when it wasn't planned and when it was uncommitted. So I actually started doing an annual life plan, much like we would typically do a business plan at work. What I found is that during the course of a day without a plan, if someone came to me and, you know, asked me if I would want to participate in perhaps a group or a particular project, and oftentimes the folks who would come to me would certainly have worthy causes and projects of interest. But before I knew it, I was a cog really helping other groups and people advance their goals. And I came to appreciate that I wasn't actually advancing mine or actually feeling very satisfied. I had clear goals in mind, but I just hadn't taken the time to write down the steps that would lead to achieving the goal. And I didn't consider the time commitment for each step. But once I put everything down on paper and populated my calendar accordingly, I began living my life fully and deliberately. So for some action steps, what I recommend and really encourage folks is to take time to think about what you really treasure most in your life, what makes you feel energized, what gives you satisfaction, and what you hope to achieve or experience in your life. For me, I consider a theme every year. I just pick a word. I start thinking about it like in the fourth quarter of every year, something inspirational and motivational, and I let it really crystallize for me. And then I began selecting life sectors where I would attach goals. So for instance, there was the mind, body, spirit classic sectors where I would attach goals to them. And I would develop specific goals for each sector. So just as in business, when we do our business plans and we want them to be, you know, our action steps should be measurable and time bound, that really the most productive way to do it in your life is to make your goals measurable and time bound. And then each quarter, I consider how I'm doing and what I may need to adjust if I'm kind of, you know, not exactly aligned. The result has been that I end each year with a deep sense of fulfillment, and I feel very energized with the activity rather than fatigued. And while this may seem a little bit like a lot more work than maybe people feel they have the time to do, it's just like that old saying that if you have, you know, a tree to cut down, make sure you spend most of the time sharpening your saw. So I really think it's productive to take the time to really think about what you want to achieve. So formalizing a plan really provides a great assistance with decision makers making. When people come to you with an idea or project or activity that they'd like you to participate in, or even if it's social, for instance, it's always useful to consider, is it going to get you closer or further from your goals?
Linda, I love that idea of a plan. How much time does it take you to create a plan?
Well, I actually like to begin thinking about it as I get to the fourth quarter of a year. And I think it's fun because in the fourth quarter, you've, you know, lived most of the year. So you get to reflect on what you've done and how the successes, the wins that you've had during the year. And so I actually start percolating ideas for the following year in my head. And then it's hard to say exactly how long. I have a pretty simple template and I run through it. So the actual putting it together happens really quickly. Most of the time is just what I let run through my head and consider what I want to do.
And do you think that other people think it might be rigid to live it like that? Or do you, you know, is there fun and spontaneity in there?
Well, it can certainly sound like it's rigid, but I guess what I've learned with life experience is that when you do leave too much squishy time, unplanned and uncommitted time in your life, it can seem wonderful because, as I used to always say, I love the saying carpe diem, and I always wanted to be ready to seize the moment for any spontaneous fun thing that was going on. But what I found is that sometimes those spontaneity, moments of spontaneity, actually You can live to say, gosh, I really wish I could have used my time differently. So for me, the whole process of kind of having this plan in my head really helps me to, I feel, have more time and more opportunity for fun.
How does someone begin a plan then?
Well, as I mentioned, I usually begin planning for the following year in the October, November, December timeframe. So October, I kind of start thinking about like what might be interesting themes for the following year. And I guess it's nice that it coincides with, you know, when the holidays are approaching and the new year is not too far away, because that thought process of planning forward starts to happen. So really, I think I want to be able to hit the ground running in January. So I pretty much complete my plans by the end of the year.
That's great. Well, I'm going to talk about how to resolve your negative feelings about your work-life balance. So jumping off of Linda, and it's Melissa, jumping off what Linda said, I actually, you know, have started my life plan based on what Linda told me. She sent me hers and I worked on mine, and I actually love it. So, you know, it really helps you try to define like what is meaningful for you and then what your priorities are. Because if you're doing something meaningful, it's, you know, what makes you feel alive or joy or love. So, you know, that is important. And, you know, I went through and made categories of my life plan, like my home, my family, my friends, work, spirituality, finances. And I'm, you know, so working through that right now. But, you know, I did notice that I have some negative feelings about how much I'm getting done, you know. And I think it's good to, even though you look at the positive side, you know, what do I want to go after? But you also have to see if there's something in your life that is kind of holding you back or making you feel bad about your life or guilty. Maybe you feel guilty. So I thought about this and I thought, well, maybe one way to solve that is, you know, because having reoccurring negative feelings about what you're doing is definitely not good. It affects everything. But what if you looked at it on the 80-20 rule? So the 80-20 rule at work is basically, if you haven't heard of it, it's where 80% of your project's outcome can be achieved by doing 20% of the work. And so, you know, and our CEO where I used to work used to say this all the time, you can't do everything. So what's that 20% then really can push, you know, the project's outcome? But you can also look at on the flip side of the negative things of your life. So 80% of your problems that you're feeling bad about or guilty in your life that you haven't done or whatever can be traced to 20% of your causes. So you can just try to analyze yourself and say, you know, maybe I don't have this work-life balance, and maybe there is, you know, reoccurring themes of issues that I'm having. So if you write down all your guilt or negative feelings for each of your categories, say in family, in home, in your finances, in your work, in your health, whatever, and then go through these categories and write down what feelings you have or what, because you haven't gotten something done or whatever, and try to prioritize them. And then look at that guilt or feeling and see, is there a trend that goes through all what's happening to you? You know, are you not preparing enough? Do you have no follow through? Are you not, you know, do you not have a steady way to do something? So, you know, for me, when I had done my life plan, you know, family is my highest priority. And actually, you know, my family, as far as taking care of my elderly parents, I actually don't have any negative or bad feelings. I mean, I do that really well, and I really focus on getting them both healthy and their finances done and that. But mine was more my home organization. You know what I mean? It just, things were overflowing. and a lot of things were overflowing that I couldn't take control of. Or, you know, I found another issue with myself is, you know, not having a daily, doing something enough, you know, as a daily practice or a daily behavior. So I'm trying to work on those issues right now, and which is great because, you know, I try to identify them, and that way that, you know, if you figure this out, then that's a whole lot of stress out of your day. So it takes, you know, a good, you know, 10, 20 minutes to sit around and think about this, and then you can come back and jump in.
That's great. Well, Melissa, do you have no follow through?
Yeah. So these are some of the examples. So one might be, you know, one of your issues is that you don't have follow through. You know, maybe you have money sitting in the bank that you isn't getting the most interest that you should. You know, maybe researching, you know, the interest rate. So maybe it's not following through and checking through. Maybe you're overthinking, you know, you're, instead of just making a decision and going for it and going for your gut, you're overthinking things in life. Or maybe you're just not decisive enough. You know, if you have too many choices, just like, you know, an example may be in your home category. If your clothes are overflowing, you know what I mean? And there's just too much. So, you know, there's too much to pick up. There's too much deciding, you know, what you're going to take. And it may be better the way Mary said, you know what I mean? Have a system for your clothes, you know, or pick out your clothes, all, you know, one day for every day that week. Or maybe you're not practicing something enough, like in the health category. Are you skipping your exercise routines? Are you, not eating the right food, you know? Are you not preparing enough? You know, are you not getting, you know, if you have kids, are you prepared, you know, the night before for each day that you have? So, you know, 20% of is not mine is my, maybe not being decisive enough in organizing my home, or not getting out my painting supplies all prepared so I could just run out the door and steal some painting time. So, you know, in summary, just ask yourself where some negative feelings are coming out in your life work balance and write them down. Then try to prioritize them. What's the worst one that you feel? So just work on that one. And then look for trends. So are there any trends in what you see? And then just start working and fix only the top 20%. So it might be the first one on your list that makes you feel the worst. And then maybe your day will go better. Your stress level will go down, and your life will be better. So that's really my wrap up.
I think we learned some great items today, action items today. I know I took out my pencil and paper halfway through this podcast, so hopefully our listeners, even if they're driving to work, can replay this. And on our show notes, we will definitely post all these questions so our listeners can reflect and start to take those actions and make those actions happen from what they've learned today. And I know I've learned a lot from Linda and Melissa along the way of kind of writing down my plan and really focusing on that top 20%. And I think in the analytical world that we live in, it's looking for those trends and what makes us energized, what makes us get up in the morning, and focusing on that. When we're doing tasks that have no meaning to them, that doesn't really get us to that end goal. We really have to have that purpose and that life vision behind them. So thanks everybody for listening to our episode number 5. We have a lot more episodes coming up that are going to cover all sorts of items that we have for life and innovating. And we also have some guest speakers that are going to be coming on. So stay tuned and thanks again for listening. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to the Innovateology Podcast. We hope we have generated some disruptive ideas and helped unleash that creative side. Please help us keep innovating and leave us a comment or a review on our website. Till next time, don't stop innovating.